From the studios of Kootenai Co-op Radio, this is Deconstructing Dinner.
And welcome to Deconstructing Dinner, a weekly radio show produced at Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY, in Nelson, British Columbia. Deconstructing Dinner airs on radio stations around the world, including CJLX, Belleville, Ontario, and CHUO, Ottawa, Ontario. I'm John Steinman. Well, another exciting weekend has come and gone for the Kootenai Grain Community Supported Agriculture Project. Between October 15th and 18th, a fleet of 11 sailboats made their way from the city of Nelson to the Creston Valley of British Columbia to once again pick up a cargo of locally grown grains and transport it back to Nelson. Launching today's episode, we'll recap the second year of this exciting stage in the evolution of this local grain project that Deconstructing Dinner has been documenting now for over 2 years. And then for the remainder of the show, we'll learn of an amazing new agriculture program for new farmers being offered at Fleming College in Lindsay, Ontario. You might already be familiar with the name of this new sustainable agriculture program at the college because over the past few weeks, they have become a weekly sponsor of Deconstructing Dinner. We'll hear from the founder of the program, Helen Nibb, and we'll meet two of the many who have also been involved in developing the program, Tom Hutchinson, a heritage livestock farmer in Indian River, Ontario, and the president of Rare Breeds Canada. And we'll hear from Sue Chan of Lakefield, Ontario, who has also helped develop the curriculum and will also be involved in guiding new students through the topics of soil, soil amendments, composting, and weed management. For any listeners who miss our segment later on the show on Fleming College's new sustainable agriculture program, one date to mark on your calendar if you'd like to learn more about the program is an online chat that the college will be hosting on Thursday, October 29th from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern. And more info on the online chat is posted at flemingcollege.ca.
Stern to me.
Okay.
You want to ease the bow line a bit for me?
Yeah, you can take that green boat there.
Yeah, Bruce, you want to ease the bow line a bit? Sure. And we'll move the big fenders back.
Those are just some of the sounds recorded on the weekend of October 17th on the waters of Kootenai Lake. Regular listeners might recall our March 2009 episode that featured a full one-hour recording from October of last year when a small fleet of four sailboats transported 5,000 pounds of locally grown grains from the Creston Valley of British Columbia to the city of Nelson. The grains were grown as part of the Kootenai Grain CSA, a community-supported agriculture project that we've been documenting here on the show as part of our Local Grain Revolution series. Well, just as expected, the sail transport of some of those locally grown grains has become an annual event. And on the weekend of October 17th, a much larger fleet of 11 sailboats transported, this time, 11,000 pounds of grains and legumes grown this past year as part of the project. A collection of photos has been posted on the Deconstructing Dinner website that helps tell the story of this amazing community effort to transport a quarter of all of the grains and legumes grown this year for residents in Nelson. Also posted on the site at deconstructingdinner.ca and under our Local Grain Revolution page is a satellite image of Kootenai Lake that provides a pretty good glimpse into the scope of this trip, as Kootenai Lake is one of the largest in the province. Deconstructing Dinner was, of course, on board yet again for the trip, but because we already shared not too long ago a pretty comprehensive collection of audio from last year's voyage, we won't be getting into too much detail this time around, but there are, of course, some highlights worthy of sharing. One of the nice additions to the trip this year was the increased support from local businesses who are also becoming members of the project and buying into the grains and lentils grown this year. One of those businesses is the Old World Bakery, located in the community of Balfour, who donated a loaf of bread to each crew involved in the grain transportation. This year, Deconstructing Dinner was on board the Mackay with skipper David Oosthuizen, who last year skippered the Kelpie, and who we heard quite a bit from on our broadcast featuring that 2008 trip. Joining David this year was his wife Chantal and their two kids Yael and Seth, and also joining our crew once again was CSA co-founder Matt Lowe. After the 11 boats and crews gathered in the community of Balfour early Friday morning, we picked up our fresh bread from the Old World Bakery and made our way out onto the main body of Kootenay Lake, where, just like last year, strong winds took us south towards the Creston Valley. Of the 11 boats, 7 of us arrived that evening at the north end of the Creston Valley at Kuskanuk Harbour, while the other 4 boats stayed overnight in a sheltered bay not too far north of the harbour. Here's CSA co-founder Matt Lowe, interviewed only days later on Kootenay Co-op Radio, where he recounted the time spent at Kuskanuk.
So we camped at Kuskanuk on Friday night and had a little bit of a party. There was there's a good galley on one of the larger boats. So we did, I imagine, what they used to do in the sailing days and played a little bit of poker and had a few drinks. It was a fun night. And then we woke up to brilliant sunshine on Saturday. And that was a surprise because we were expecting rain and we were wondering about the challenges of unloading grain from trucks onto boats with rain. Didn't have to worry about that. The farmers showed up. Some folks from Creston showed up. And it was really a lot of fun. There were families along, and the kids just jumped right in there. They loved, having the bags of grain passed to them and being involved. And the saying, many hands make light work, it went incredibly smooth, incredibly quick, and everyone had a really good time. So we loaded up the boats and were away, I'd say all of us, by about 11 o'clock.
Dave Heath, owner, skipper of Snooker and Red Sky at Night Sailing Adventures from Nelson. I was roped into it by a bunch of these sailors because I got a big boat and they said I could bring a bunch of grain.
How big is your boat here that we're standing on?
35 feet. Yeah. So I can probably take about 2,000 pounds.
Yeah. We're all 20s.
Oh, my name is Guy Sibar. I live in Roslyn, BC. Oh, we're standing on a Hustler 30 SG, it's called, you know. It's built by Oyster Marine in the UK. It was an old offshore racing boat. Oh, we're trying to load maybe 1,500 pounds on this boat, maybe 1,200 minimum.
Okay, are we still loading on that?
No, we're done. Just you, Dave.
Oh, okay.
You done? No.
Oh, we're gonna do a snooker now.
Are we putting in this boat now?
Is that it?
How many more do you want?
Jesse, a few more?
So, there you go.
Yeah,
an order. Take it off.
The other boat, is it both? Okay.
While some boats were able to take over 2,000 pounds, others loaded up with no more than 600. Members of the Grain CSA who arrived from Creston also brought along some food for everyone to share, all of it, of course, having been grown and produced in the Creston Valley, such as baked goods from the grains that we were transporting, cherry juice and dried cherries from the valley's well-known cherry orchards, apples and cheeses produced at the nearby Kootenay Alpine Cheese. And also joining us in Kuskanuk was some other media, aside from Deconstructing Dinner. Leading up to the weekend, the CSA had contacted media throughout the province and even across the country to raise awareness of not only the unique transportation being used for these locally grown grains, but to raise awareness of the grain project itself, which is also unique. On the dock in Kuskanuk was CBC Radio's Bob Keating, who would later produce a 10-minute segment about the project for listeners in the southern interior of the province, and a shorter segment aired throughout the day across the entire province, such as this one here.
And lastly, to the Kootenays, it's smooth sailing for Canada's first community grain project. Farmers in the Creston Valley began growing grain for their neighbours 2 years ago, and as Bob Keating reports, it's growing by leaps and bounds.
Here we go, one more?
Yep. It's like a journey from another era. At a lake harbor near Creston, 20-pound sacks are loaded onto sailboats. Volunteer David Oosthuizen will captain some of the cargo to Nelson.
We enjoy sailing anyways, and I don't know, there's a little bit of romance and adventure to it all.
The adventure is the country's first community-supported grain project. Last year, 200 people bought in. This year, coordinator Matt Lowe says that number tripled.
We have individual shareholders, so these are families that are buying 100 pounds of grain. But we also have about a dozen businesses. So a lot of people in the Kootenays are going to be eating local grain this year.
The idea is to partner families with farmers so they know where their food comes from. For the first time in his life, farmer Keith Hushcroft planted wheat and oats instead of hay.
The big thing is the people. You really get a connection with your customer, and you get to have a little bit of fun doing your farming now, and you're appreciated. They stand behind you. It's kind of a new thing for a farmer.
This valley used to be a breadbasket for the local area, but farmers haven't grown much grain here for a long time. Now they're growing it for their neighbors. Bob Keating, CBC News, near Creston.
A segment produced by Bob Keating for CBC Radio. When the 11 boats were filled with 20-pound bags of lentils, red fife wheat, and other varieties of grain, we departed Kuskanuk en route to Nelson. The winds were strong for about half of the journey north to Pilot Bay, not far from the entrance to the west arm of the lake that would later guide us towards our Nelson destination. 10 of the 11 boats dropped anchors in the sheltered area of the bay known as Sawmill Cove, where 8 of the 10 boats pontooned together to make a rather large floating raft. And the evening was an incredible reminder of the unique culture that was forming around this now annual voyage. Images of our 8 boats tied together are posted on the Deconstructing Dinner website. But just imagine, in the dark of night, the rain falling heavily on the boats, and the many crews hunkered down in the boats' cabins with dim lights, organic beers from the Nelson Brewing Company, and freshly made pasta prepared from the previous year's red fife wheat. Here again is CSA co-founder Matt Lowe, interviewed on Kootenai Co-op Radio.
Yeah, and then we got into Sawmill Cove. We tied up the boats, and we all had a pasta dinner that a lovely young man in Nelson named Jesse, who works at Oso Negro and is a young gourmet cook. He pre-made everybody gourmet pasta, and the pasta was made from the red fife wheat from last year. He made this delicious sauce, so everyone had a nice hot pasta dinner. He also made a squash soup, and some people, there was a boat that was, people were jamming music, and there was a boat where people were just hanging out. So we did that for the night, and then we woke up to beautiful skies again on Sunday, and great winds, and we actually sailed pretty much the whole way from there into the Prestige, the city wharf on that day.
Shortly before we departed for the weekend sailing voyage, I briefly spoke with Jesse Phillips, the chef that Matt spoke of, and he described in more detail the meals that he prepared for the 11 crews.
Okay, so I've got some roasted pumpkin and apple soup, some pasta, homemade pasta with red fife wheat, some Alpendon cheese, cream sauce. Yeah, that's dinner for Saturday night. This is for the grain CSA sailing down to Creston, and I made about 40 liters of pasta. I was making it for about 14 hours, rolling out the pasta by hand and cutting it and blanching it off and mixing a whole bunch of vegetables in. And
as the crews woke up to sunshine yet again, we departed Sawmill Cove, where strong winds took us across the main body of the lake and into the mouth of the West Arm, the body of water that flows by the city of Nelson, after which it eventually flows south across the border and into the United States. Once in the West Arm, the winds died down, but there was just enough wind coming from behind us for all of the boats to raise their spinnakers. Those are the largest of the sails carried on any sailboat. And the images of this leg of the trip are amazing, and I encourage listeners to again take a look at these photos on our website at deconstructingdinner.ca and post it under the October 22nd, 2009 episode. And adding to the excitement of this leg of the trip, with all the boats sailing their spinnakers, was the close proximity of the boats to the shoreline and one of the main highways in the area. Just before departing Nelson, I encouraged the many radio hosts at Kootenai Co-op Radio who were on the air throughout the weekend to remind residents in the area that the boats would be sailing into Nelson on late Sunday afternoon. And sure enough, we could see homeowners standing on their back decks cheering us on. We could see people pulling off to the side of the road and honking their horns. And again, this was another reminder of how this trip was truly a cultural event and an amazing way to raise awareness of this local food project that will be feeding this year 450 families with grain and legumes and providing even more food to over 10 businesses who have now invested into the project. We arrived in Nelson right on schedule and to a crowd of over 50 people who had gathered on the municipal dock to greet the fleet of boats. Also on the dock was a 4-piece band that we could hear as we approached. And without any need to coordinate, helping hands came from every direction to unload the 11 boats of their grain cargo.
Hey,
The 11,000 pounds of grain unloaded were taken only a block away to Ellison's Market, one of Nelson's independent grocery stores who generously offered to store the grains for a few weeks before members of the Grain CSA were allowed to come and collect their shares. The store is also one of the largest commercial members of the CSA and will be assisting the project to transport the remaining 30,000 pounds that will arrive on the truck that the store already uses to transport other foods from the Creston Valley to their store. This is again another great example of the many individuals, organizations, and businesses who are stepping forward in the community to make this local grain project as successful as it has been in only 2 years. And to further extend some acknowledgments and thank yous to the many people involved, Deconstructing Dinner would like to extend a thank you to the 11 crews who participated throughout the weekend, including skippers David Oosthuizen of the Mackay, Shannon Holmes of Kelpie, Dave Heath of Snooker, Jay Blackmore of Celine, Jim Rayburn of Joanna, Guy Simard of The Mojito, Mike Bowick of Breezen, Alden Hamilton of Astrolita, Ira Schwartz of Kendra 2, Kevin Shepard of Green, and Cassidy Touch of Irish Mist. Of course, a lot of appreciation and thanks needs to also be extended to the farmers, Joanne and Drew Galeas, Carol and Keith Huscroft, and Sherry and Roy Lawrence. Acknowledgements to CSA co-founders Matt Lowe and Brenda Bruns and the rest of the Grain CSA's steering committee, CSA Administrator Gail Southall, Creston Miller Jenny Truscott, and Nelson Miller David Everest, who, I should also add, was part of the four-piece band playing on the dock to greet the boats. And of course, on that note, a thanks to the rest of the band. A big thanks to Jesse Phillips for preparing the most amazing food for the 11 crews. And thank yous to some of the sponsors and supporters of the trip. The Nelson Brewing Company, Oso Negro Coffee, the West Kootenai Eco Society, WildSight, the Kootenai Lakes Sailing Association, the Kootenai Country Store Cooperative, and the Old World Bakery. And also a thank you to all of the local regional media who shared this story with their listeners and readers. It's not often that a story here in Nelson makes the cover page of all three of Nelson's newspapers. Images of that news coverage are also posted on the Deconstructing Dinner website.
The situation is in our hands to weave the threads of our community. Gotta find our tools. Buy our wheat from Creston now. The farmer's got a sure sale, they know. It gives me a sense of content somehow to get our bread so close to home.
And that again was Nelson resident Earl Hamilton and his tune Close to Home, a song written last year in honor of the Kootenai Grain CSA. And you're tuned in to Deconstructing Dinner. For the remainder of the show today, we'll expand on a really exciting new agriculture program being offered at Fleming College in Lindsay, Ontario. Regular listeners of the show might be familiar with this program, as over the past few weeks, Fleming College's Sustainable Agriculture program, starting this coming January, has become a weekly supporter of the show. And what makes this new program so exciting is how nicely the proposed curriculum touches on so many of the areas of focus that Deconstructing Dinner has shared for almost the past 4 years now. It's a curriculum that, as far as we're concerned, appears like a perfect way for any unexperienced and interested new farmers to be introduced to many of the critical pieces necessary to launch a profitable and sustainable farm business. For the remainder of the show, we'll hear from the coordinator of the program, Helen Nibb, and from Tom Hutchinson and Sue Chan, who have both also been involved in the development of the program and who will also be guiding students throughout the one-year curriculum. To first learn more about Fleming College, Helen spoke to me over the phone from her office in Lindsay, Ontario.
Well, Fleming College is a community college. There are probably, I think there's around 22 colleges in the Ontario system. And Fleming is a small to medium-sized college. And we're positioned in a very interesting area because, you know, we're close to Toronto. But we really do actually have a very large and significant rural population base as well. And the other distinctive feature of Fleming is that we have four campuses. that are fairly widely distributed. And so we have one sort of in the south, which is on in Cobourg on Lake Ontario. Our northernmost campus is in Halliburton. And then we have a campus in Lindsay, which is where the new program will be positioned. And the Lindsay campus is our School of Environmental and Natural Resource Sciences. And it really has this quite unique and wonderful and distinct culture, because the students who are attracted to that campus come there, you know, very specifically because they're interested in environment, they're interested in the outdoors, they want a hands-on education, and yeah, it's just a remarkable place. When you cross the threshold of that campus, the energy is distinct.
As the coordinator of the new sustainable agriculture program being offered at the college, Helen Nibb has brought with her a unique personal background that lends insight into how and why this new program came to be. The story she shares also stresses the importance of farming education programs like this one being able to reach out into the community and connect with all of the players necessary for a viable local food system.
I grew up in England, and I grew up in a village community, in a rural environment, and I worked on farms. I was very actively involved in the Young Farmers Clubs there, and I had this very interesting point in my own career development, which in one sense has been a huge influence on where I am today. But you probably know that the English system is very strongly based on tenant farming, and it's actually very difficult to get land in England or to really engage in farming unless you end up working for a pharmaceutical or something like that. And when I got to the age of 16, I boldly applied to go to agricultural college, and I even more boldly applied to go to an all-male college. And this was just after the Sex Discrimination Act came through in England in 1975. And I got this very sort of resounding rejection. It was quite funny, and it was this very brief letter that said, we regret to tell you that we are not accepting women at this time. We have no toilet facilities for women. And that was, in one sense, that was the beginning of my adventure with training and education in agriculture. And, suffice to say, I actually didn't go to agricultural college. I went a completely different route. I studied the arts. My background actually is museum work. And, I came to the college to lead a program in museum management, and subsequently moved into the area of curriculum development. And I think, John, I never really lost sight of that original goal, which was how to connect with the land, you know, the desire to farm, just the need to be living in a rural environment and to feel part of that environment. And so, a few years ago, those elements sort of began to come together for me, in that I did buy a farm locally and began connecting with other new farmers, ecological farmers within the region, and just began to become part of the discussion around new ways of thinking about doing things, be it training and education, be it, the sort of our systems and approaches or the way we think, but really sort of engaging in that community and being stimulated by that community. And my job here at the college, I am involved in program development. And a couple of years ago, began sowing the seeds, making the suggestions that maybe this was a program that we needed to start paying attention to in terms of development, that it would be a really good fit for our Lindsay campus, that it really aligned well with those environmental programs, and that it was simply the right time in terms of the needs of new and beginner farmers that, we're really sort of beginning to populate this district and we're beginning to sort of emerge in new and interesting ways, but who didn't always have a good path to follow or even a path to follow and in terms of training and education. There was this incredible synergy that began to sort of start coming together in terms of all those pieces, but, very much seeing this program as part of a regional need and needing this program to be based in the community and in partnership with the community.
This is Deconstructing Dinner. Helen Nibb is the coordinator of the new Sustainable Agriculture program being offered this coming January at Lindsay, Ontario's Fleming College. Helen also shares an overview of the program and how it was developed.
We tried to position the program in such a way that we were really focusing on the needs of new and beginner farmers who in many cases do not necessarily have a strong farming background, who in many cases are not going to inherit the farm or even sort of see the prospect of being able to buy land, but who nonetheless want a farm. And also sort of trying to build a curriculum that really focused on, you know, ecological farming methods, sustainable farming methods, and exploring those systems and practices. And we wanted to make sure that what we did explore within the program were really non-capital intensive startups. Very often one could say we were looking at small farm viability, though, you know, we've had a lot of discussions about what small farms actually mean or look like, but I think that that's actually quite a strong principle that drove the design process. We were looking at farm diversification, looking at niche marketing, and very obviously wanting to sort of ensure that there was a really strong integration of business skills in that program construct as well. And the program really is designed for people who, I think in many cases, they've already got a university degree, and yet they didn't necessarily take a science degree. They may have taken, you know, an arts program, and yet at some point, learning process have decided that they are really interested in food and food systems and farming and want to find a way in.
One of the reasons Deconstructing Dinner has become as excited as we have been with this new sustainable agriculture program is how over the past almost 4 years now that we've been airing this show, we hadn't come across any educational program offering anything like this one soon to be launched in January. And to be sure, I asked Helen if in her efforts to develop this program, had they come across anything else like it?
I don't think there's very much else out there that is similar. You know, there are a number of excellent programs, well, excellent courses that are being offered on a sort of, you know, one-off basis. For example, Nova Scotia Agricultural College has some really good online courses in organic practice. And there are excellent programs like UBC, you know, which has its own farm and which is also sort of looking at the agroecology, sustainable ag pieces, University of Manitoba, McGill, and obviously Guelph. But there didn't seem to be anything that really targeted this particular group of new and beginner farmers who I think are coming from a very different place, who would not choose necessarily to do a four-year degree, you know, a four-year conventional degree, who want a different way in to start their farming practice.
Support for Deconstructing Dinner is in part provided by the new one-year sustainable agriculture program starting in January at Fleming College in Lindsay, Ontario. Learn from farmers while participating in farm field days, site visits, community-based learning activities, and an on-farm summer co-op placement. For more information, go to flemingcollege.ca.
This is Deconstructing Dinner, a syndicated weekly radio show and podcast produced in Nelson, British Columbia at Kootenai Co-op Radio CJLY. I'm John Steinman, and you can learn more about the show and listen to archived versions of our previous 152 episodes by visiting our website at deconstructingdinner.ca. Later on the broadcast, we'll briefly learn of an upcoming online chat that Fleming College will be offering to any prospective students interested in this sustainable agriculture program that we're featuring here on the show today. The online chat will take place Thursday, October 29th, between 5 and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. The online chat will be an opportunity for prospective students to pose questions to the program's coordinator, Helen Nibb, and others involved in the program. And here again is Helen Nibb, providing an overview of how this program will unfold throughout the year.
It's a one-year intensive running January through December, which is in itself a fairly sort of non-conventional format. It's divided roughly into three semesters, but even the three semesters don't align with a traditional academic year. The first semester is really about providing a big, well, a general and holistic overview, and students are sort of be exploring the foundation principles in sustainable agriculture and looking at areas such as soil sciences and weed ecology management and, you know, farm insect pests, moving on to looking at things such as small-scale livestock production, small-scale grain production, pasture management, and really being given an opportunity to I think get a flavor of, and as I said, you know, the key here is we know these students will not be expert at the end of these modules, but the way that we've designed them is really sort of trying to integrate opportunities to be in the field, to connect with local farmers, to see successful operations, to get a sense of what might be possible. And at the midpoint, the program really begins to sort of focus, and you know, students do an on-farm co-op for about 20 weeks, which is really designed to align them with a farm, which parallels their own interests and goals, and really build on that sort of those first semester ideas. And at the end of that co-op, they sort of come back to the college, and it will be after Thanksgiving. And they really then begin to sort of focus much more on the business side of things, you know, in terms of the marketing strategies, the business plan, the farm plan.
Now, one of the fears any prospective farmer might have with even considering pursuing a life of farming is profitability. Farming is, after all, one of the least profitable businesses to be in, regardless of the size of the operation. But profitability is a key focus of the sustainable agriculture program at Fleming College. And Helen Nibb speaks to this concern.
You mentioned the word profitability, and that actually is integrated into the program aim. And I think it was a topic that came up at our advisory committee discussions. And every program at the college has to have an advisory committee of practitioners sort of representing the field, you know, to help shape, guide, and form the curriculum. And the farmers on that committee felt very strongly that this topic was introduced front-end, and that we were not presenting a program that was really sort of offering a nice lifestyle choice, but without, you know, that sort of critical edge in terms of can you make an honest livelihood doing this. You know, it's a difficult thing to sort of build into a program. And, you know, we've tried to do that. I'm not sure how successful we will be, but it is certainly a very strong element that goes through most modules of the curriculum. And I would say that, you know, there's this sort of constant decision-making process that students are going to be engaged in terms of, you know, this may be a great idea, but, yeah, is it going to give me a livelihood? I mean, you're right, John. It's a huge challenge, but it is, I think, one of the essential sort of underpinnings of the curriculum is the belief that it is possible through good planning, through good practice, through good strategy, through good marketing, to make a livelihood in farming.
Another question that should also be asked around the nature of this program is this idea of sustainability. Just what is sustainable? While industrial agriculturalists would have us believe that their model of producing food is sustainable, a small-scale market gardener would also argue the same. In light of the program at Fleming College being named Sustainable Agriculture, Helen addresses what the college is defining as sustainable, which, as she suggests, is rooted in the nature of community and valuing rural life.
I think there's a few principles around this. I mean, one is trying to promote an approach to agriculture that really sort of aligns with natural ecosystems. And at the same time, there's this other two really important pillars of sustainability, which is the economic viability, which is the community engagement and the healthy communities and thriving communities, which I think is just a huge part of the things that we need to pay attention to in terms of farming. And you can't farm in isolation. You know, you have to be in the community and part of the community. And that actually meant a lot to me as somebody who lives in a rural area, that we're trying to create and support this culture where rural life is truly valued, and where, you know, we're thinking about rural infrastructure as being an important asset in our communities that we can't afford to ignore. And at the same time, I mean, one of the things that we also felt very strongly about in designing the program was that it is not prescriptive in terms of where somebody chooses to put their stake in the ground or how at the end of this they will define themselves. So we are going to be presenting an overview of you know, a whole range of methods and approaches and ways into sustainable agriculture, you know, from biodynamics to permaculture, to, you know, certified organic, to ecological farming principles, and really encouraging students to make good choices for themselves. There is a continuum, and people will find themselves somewhere on that continuum.
Helen Nibb of Fleming College's Sustainable Agriculture Program. Helen spoke earlier of some of the others involved in developing this program, many of whom will also be offering their on-farm experiences to students as the year evolves. And to get a brief introduction to just some of these individuals, I spoke with Tom Hutchinson. Tom has worked at nearby Trent University for the past 20 years in their food and agriculture program. He farms in Indian River, Ontario, and is the director of Rare Breeds Canada.
Well, I'm a professor at Trent University, which is only about 45 minutes from Lindsay, where the Sanford Fleming program will take place. I run my own farm, which is largely a sheep farm. I particularly utilize heritage breeds. So I have outdoor pigs and heritage chickens and so on. And I've done that for about 25 years. I run the Trent University food and agriculture program. So I have a number of courses there in sustainable agriculture and in agricultural alternatives, which is all the opportunities for niche marketing and so on. I also was head of Rare Breeds Canada, which is the heritage livestock conservation NGO, for a number of years, and we run the national head office out of my office at Trent University.
Tom goes on to share how he has been involved in developing the Fleming College program and what his involvement will be once the program commences in January.
Well, I'm on the advisory committee, so I've been involved. In fact, Helen and I have worked very closely for a number of years on trying to get this going there and try to get Trent's programs expanded. My actual involvement in terms of instructions and courses and things, I'll be giving some modules on pioneer agriculture and the history of agriculture in this area and in Ontario. I'll be talking also about the utilization of heritage livestock in organic farming and the nice mesh there is between when these breeds were developed and the purposes for which they developed, which was in the periods which were actually basically entirely organic before 1950.
Heritage foods have been a past focus here on Deconstructing Dinner, and for good reason, just as Fleming College's new program is one focusing on sustainable farming practices. Tom explains why heritage breeds of livestock lend themselves to this notion of sustainability.
The reasons that we utilize them is, first of all, I think that they have important contribution to make. They've all been developed for commercial purposes. Many of them were dual purpose. They were not developed at times when there was plentiful antibiotics or herbicides, pesticides were developed before those. And they were developed before there was high nutrients inputs into the system through inorganic fertilizers. So these are animals which were on the farms in Europe and in North America from the 1850s and onwards. And we ran a fairly sustainable system in Canada from about 1850 till about 1950. So these were the animals that, these were the work animals that enabled that to be possible. And they have all kinds of good features that have been selected for general docility and mothering instincts, for being able to produce well under somewhat harsh conditions in terms of cold and so on. They're developed for use in unheated barns and facilities, all of which is about the opposite of where industrial has gone. And, you know, they taste good. Well, the pigs, the three breeds that I've raised are Berkshires, Tamworths, which is sort of the pig of the year at the moment, and they're the ginger outdoor pigs, and I've raised English Large Blacks. So these were three of the key heritage pigs that were prominent in agriculture back before 50 years ago. And then in the chickens, well, I suppose the main important one commercially from the past was the Dorking. So I raised silver-laced Dorkings, and there were even commercial flocks of those until about 1950 in the Peterborough-Lindsay area. And they're dual purpose, good egg layers, very good meat birds. Friends of mine raise Jersey Giants, which have similar attributes. And the sheep, I've had a variety of sheep heritage breeds, but the ones that I've concentrated on really are Cotswold sheep, which are long wool sheep. You know, the male, the ram, might produce a fleece of 20 to 22 pounds of top quality wool. And they're also good crosses with the down breed, so that the big sheep and docile, good mums, and so on.
Tom Hutchinson. Also lending their experience to the development of this new sustainable agriculture program has been Sue Chan of Lakefield, Ontario.
I have a long-standing interest in agriculture. I started off as a young person doing a diploma in agriculture at McGill, and then I went on to do a you know, a Bachelor of Science degree in agriculture at McGill, and then I went on to do an environmental science master's at Guelph. And in the process of all that, I mean, it's not the pieces of paper that matter, but in the process of all that, I met quite a few interesting people who had a different take on agriculture rather than the standard agriculture that we were being fed at school. Many of them were professors, as a matter of fact. And I began to think of agriculture as more than just taking as much out of the soil as you could possibly get and making a maximum profit. That was that's where I started. Now, I've always had a strong connection with growing things, especially plants and insects, and I've spent a lot of time getting to know those things in the natural world, and so that's my interest there. And then I became interested in food production at the individual level, as people growing their own food, people becoming aware of where their food came from and becoming aware of the cycles of food production throughout a year.
Sue will also be involved throughout the program and will work with students on the important topics of soil, insects, and composting.
Well, what I'm hoping to do is not be, you know, the sage on the stage, because I don't feel that I can be the sage on the stage. So what I'm hoping to do is be sort of a keeper of certain portals that I would open up and make people aware of just what's out there. My responsibilities are for maybe what we could call the foundational modules. So those would be soil science, plant science, insect science, composting. Those are sort of like the basic underlying bits of information that new farmers have to be aware of. They have to know how they all fit together. And then they will go on to apply all that stuff in other modules. So those are the modules that I'm working on. And I am struggling with, and I am trying to develop modules in these foundational stuff that are not academic per se, but are information portals. So I open doors to allow students to find information, to know where information can be retrieved, and then to help them organize this information into a holistic view of all these things. So, for example, I want them to learn about soil science, but rather than having them do labs on soil structure and soil particle size and all this kind of stuff, which will never be used in a practical sense, I would be approaching this from a demonstration point of view, and then I would be bringing in people who, local farmers or experts in the field, to come and discuss this kind of stuff in a sort of a panel format with students. And then I would be asking these students to think about very particular things that they would then apply to their co-op placement with respect to all this information.
Sue Chen. On today's episode of Deconstructing Dinner, we are learning of the new sustainable agriculture program commencing in January 2010 at Fleming College in Lindsay, Ontario. If you miss any of today's show, it's archived online at deconstructingdinner.ca and posted under the October 22nd, 2009 episode. With not enough time to explore in depth some of the areas of focus the program will introduce to students, one that stands out that sets this program apart from others is the introduction to on-farm maintenance and repair, an important area for any new farmer seeking to avoid the capital-intensive models currently dominating food production.
We are going to be taking students out to farm auctions, to dealerships, to different sort of contexts in terms of really looking at and assessing a whole range of farm equipment with regard to what are the choices that you make, what are the best choices, how do you buy, how do you position other alternatives such as, you know, sharing, barter, contract work. So there's one set of decisions around, do you actually need the equipment in the first place? And if you do, how are you going to access it in the way that is in good sense for the nature and the scale of your own enterprise? I think there's another sort of absolutely critical part, which is, working with farmers in the region to look at and sort of share the strategies that they have developed as well. There's another piece of this module that we also thought incredibly strongly about, if you do have the equipment, you know how to maintain it. And we actually have a heavy equipment program at the Lindsay campus. And so the students will, in fact, be taking things apart, putting them back together again, knowing where the grease points are, knowing how to maintain stuff once, you know, they've managed to get it. And there's another sort of, I think, really important part of that
particular module where students will also get basic training in sort of tractor operation, and that was something that, you know, once again, our advisory committee felt really strongly about was that students would be safe operators. So there is a component of the curriculum where they will have the opportunity to practice.
Another unique area of focus of the Sustainable Agriculture Program is on-farm processing and preserving.
A lot of the successful small-scale operations around here, I mean, one of the things that they've been doing well is exploring those aspects of, you know, both on-farm microprocessing, but also that whole question of how do you get produce to market in ways that you know are really effective and thoughtful. And so, you know, there's a couple of things here. I mean, that component of the curriculum will be workshop based, and it will cover a range of aspects. I mean, obviously, there's a huge part of this where we are dealing with food safety and food handling, and you know, that's just simply a non-negotiable. But I think there's that question of, so how do we incorporate some of those non-negotiables in good design and good systems on farm? And, you know, so even on a very practical level, you know, there may be, you know, there'd probably be a design component where we look at, you know, well, how do you actually design and potentially construct, I mean, a really good sort of cleaning, sorting station, and what are the ergonomic factors that you might have to consider in doing that as you, you know, bring produce to market.
And one last and important area of focus that we'll have time for today is access to farmland. This has been an ongoing topic of focus here on Deconstructing Dinner, and certainly a critical piece for any new farmer. Pat Learmonth will be lending her experience to this component of the program, and Helen Nibb explains.
Well, Pat has been very closely involved with, I mean, I think what has really become a province-wide movement in Ontario, where a number of the existing nonprofit organizations that have been supporting new and beginner farmers have really began this sort of very active networking to bring together, you know, farmers who have land and who potentially want to share land, farmers who are, know that they don't necessarily have family who, you know, who want to continue the succession and are really sort of challenged with succession planning. And in fact, you know, non-farmers who have bought land and have land and feel that they want it to be farmed, but they don't know how to go about finding someone to farm it in ways that perhaps align with their own sense of land stewardship. And so, I mean, I think there's just been a lot of activity in this area around bringing those people with land together with those who desire and seek land and who want to farm, using ecological methods. And, you know, there are new bodies. There's a new website that we have in the province called FarmLink, which is sort of brokering some of those activities. We are actually sort of seeing more formal kind of face-to-face events occurring, you know, where we're bringing those two groups together. And the work that Pat is doing is, it's. I mean, also from a legal perspective, she's also been doing an extraordinary amount of research around land tenure and looking at sort of different approaches or different models of land tenure and how that sharing actually sort of works, you know, from a legal perspective, or could work from a legal perspective. And I think it's an incredibly important aspect of this program, as I said, because I mean, my sense is that probably we're seeing a 50-50 breakdown of prospective students in terms of those who have land and those who don't have land and are really going to be needing that kind of shared arrangement in order to start their operation. But certainly within this region, we're seeing a lot of activity in that area occurring, and occurring, I think, very successfully.
And that was Helen Nibb, the coordinator of the new Sustainable Agriculture Program being offered this coming January at Fleming College in Lindsay, Ontario. Prospective students can learn more about the program at flemingcollege.ca. And for any listeners who catch this broadcast in time, the college is offering an online chat for anyone interested in learning more. That online chat will take place Thursday, October 29th, between 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More information on that is found on the Fleming College website. Helen Nibb and others will be on hand to field any questions and engage participants in a dialogue. Again, that's Thursday, October 29th, between 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time at flemingcollege.ca. And to wrap up today's episode, we'll leave you with some final words from Tom Hutchinson and Sue Chan, who we heard from earlier. Both have been involved in the program's development, and they lend their thoughts on the importance of this type of education being offered in Canada, and the importance of expanding this type of education into other educational institutions across the country.
Well, I think it's a great initiative. It's in a sense, it's a recognition of a demand that new farmers or transferring farmers want a very hands-on experience. They want to learn things on the farms and with farmer instructors with lots of experience. They want to perhaps not have quite such an academic classroom kind of background. There will be co-ops for several months, 4 or 5 months, co-ops in this program. And they'll have very close contact both on the land and in the labs and classrooms with farmers and with instructors such as myself, you know, who've got a fair bit of experience. And there's a very practical end to it. There'll be given some pretty good instruction on marketing, advertising, how to make sure that the products you're producing is actually wanted, how to increase the interest in what you're producing, and niche marketing and things of that kind, how to run a sustainable farm so that you don't degrade the land, so you actually have an income as well, so you can keep the family on the land, and so on.
Very, very, very important. I think that, you know, I've often had this discussion with Helen, that there is a generational gap in knowledge about farming and about all the different parts of farming, like all the different things that come into play. So somehow or other, I absorbed a lot of information from my farming grandparents, but there is a definite generational gap in which most people have not absorbed a lot of information from either their grandparents or their parents or from anybody. And so they are wanting to start farming, and yet they have none of this basic core knowledge. And the other important thing about this program is that it's a sustainable program, right? It's a program which suggests that farming needs to be sustainable both from a financial point of view and from an ecological point of view and from a community point of view, that farms are not in isolation from the rest of community. And then the third thing I think that's important about it is it's an in and out program. You are coming in, you are sort of getting these foundational pieces, you're getting some practical application, and then you're going out to a co-op and you're applying all this stuff in a very specific setting, because farmers all work in very specific settings. They don't need to know about soils in general. They need to know how to learn about the soils on their farms, right? And so that's one of the great things about this program, which is why I'm so enthusiastic about it. I think it's, you know, the focus is correct.
I think we should have a great deal more of these sorts of programs in the various colleges across the country, because that gets you out close to the communities. And they have a history of practical training, in a sense job training, and technical training. And there's a nice link between Trent University and Fleming College in this sense. There's more and more connections between the two, and that's really developing strongly in agriculture. Yeah, I think the colleges offer practical experience, actually, and they also offer a very nice jump directly, in this case, onto the land, onto farms in the community. And there's an enormous amount of enthusiasm. In my own courses, I take students out to a lot of farms, and I don't think I've yet asked a farmer in 15 years here at Trent if they would let the students come out to the farm. The answer's always yes, always yes. And so they're very keen to see young people going there. And this is going to partly fill some of the gaps for training and encouraging and giving a good background of, in a sense, farming and business experience as to how to make a living on the land without destroying it.
And that was this week's edition of Deconstructing Dinner, produced and recorded at Nelson, British Columbia's Kootenai Co-op Radio. I've been your host, John Steinman. I thank my technical assistant, John Ryan, The theme music for Deconstructing Dinner is courtesy of Nelson area resident Adam Shake. This radio show is provided free of charge to campus community radio stations across the country and relies on the financial support from you, the listener. Support for the program can be donated through our website at deconstructingdinner.ca or by dialing 250-352-9600.